would you take these words and speak to us through them? I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. A large company, feeling it was time for a shakeup, hired a new CEO. And this CEO was determined to come in and get rid of all the slackers. So he was meeting with he was at the company one day and surrounded by his employees, and he saw a guy leaning up against the wall, and so he wanted to make an example out of this guy. He wanted to show his employees that he meant business. So he went up to this guy and he said, "How much do you make a week?" The guy was kind of taken back, and he said, "Well, $300, why?" And the CEO reached into his pocket and pulled out a wad of bills and handed the guy $1,200 and said, "Here's 4 weeks' pay, now get out of here and never come back again." Well, he was very pleased with himself, this CEO was, and so he looked around the other employees and he said, "Can any of you tell me what this goof-off did around here?" And from the back of the room came the voice which said, "Pizza guy from Domino's." Sometimes that we think that we know who someone is, only to find out later on that we really didn't know who they were. And that's really the story of our gospel lesson today. So if you wouldn't mind turning to our gospel lesson again in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, it's on page 1611 in the Pew Bibles. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 18. And Jesus is praying with his disciples. He's praying and they're kind of by themselves, and Jesus decides to take a break from praying, and he asks his disciples this question: "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And his disciples respond, "Well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're one of the prophets come back to life." Then Jesus asks them this question: "But who do you say that I am?" And I heard one speaker say one time that if the disciples were modern-day liberal theologians, they might have answered that question, "Who do you say that I am?" in this way. They might have said, "Master, thou art the supreme eschatological manifestation of omnipotent ecclesiastical authority, the absolute divine sacerdotal monarch." And Jesus would have probably responded, "I'm what? Are you kidding me?" Many people think they know who Jesus is. But if you were to ask them to describe who they think Jesus is, they quite often describe someone who is quite different from the Jesus of the Bible. They often kind of view Jesus as kind of a cuddly, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, someone who doesn't condemn anyone, doesn't hate anyone, doesn't send anybody to hell, doesn't do anything like that, except maybe people like Hitler or somebody like that. But certainly they think that in the end, Jesus is going to find a way to save everybody. I like what H. Richard Niebuhr said one time. He said, "Many people believe in a God without wrath who brought men without sin into a kingdom without judgment through the ministrations of a Christ without a cross." Many people think that there are many ways to God. The Muslims think that, for example. They think that they don't think that. They think there's only one way, and that is through Islam and through Muhammad. They don't believe that Jesus is the Savior. They don't believe that he died on the cross, nor they only believe that he was a good prophet. I had the opportunity this past week to attend the Anglican Church in North America's General Assembly, and there were about 1,300 people from all over North America who met in Frisco, and we had heard various reports from different aspects of the Anglican Church in North America. We heard that there are now over 1,035 congregations in the Anglican Church of North America. It's continuing to grow. We also heard various speakers. One of those speakers was Ravi Zacharias, who was an apologist for the Christian faith, someone who goes around the country defending the Christian faith. He speaks at various college campuses, and he has been doing this for many years. He's in his 80s now, and yet he's still so mentally sharp and intellectually adept that he's able to run circles around almost all the intellectuals that I know. And he was sharing various stories of what was happening around the world in different aspects of his ministry. And And I remember him sharing on another occasion a story about a time in which he was in Jordan. And he was getting a passport picture taken in a Muslim shop at that time. And he had with him a missionary who spoke Arabic. The missionary's name was Fred. And his the missionary was talking to the shopkeeper. He was telling him that Robbie was going to be speaking at an event that night, and he wanted to invite this shopkeeper to come. And so the missionary introduced Robbie to the shopkeeper. The shopkeeper said, "Ah, Hindu." Because Robbie is from India, he looks like someone who might be a Hindu. And so the missionary had to explain, no, he's not a Hindu by religion, but rather he is a Christian. He's a follower of Jesus Christ. And so the shopkeeper was kind of taken back for a moment, and he said, "Well, ask Robbie what he believes about Muhammad." And so Robbie said, "Well, okay, I'll tell you, but first let me ask you a question. Did Muhammad say that Jesus was a prophet?" The shopkeeper said, "Well, yes, he did." "Is Muhammad a prophet?" Robbie asked. The shopkeeper said, "Well, yes, he is, of course." And then he asked the question, "Can a prophet lie?" And the shopkeeper said, "No, of course not." "So Jesus Christ is a prophet," Robbie said, "and he cannot lie. Is that right?" "That's right," said the shopkeeper. So then Robbie said, "Jesus said that he is the only way to God. And if Jesus is right, then Muhammad is wrong. But if Jesus is wrong, then Muhammad is still wrong because he said Jesus was right." Many people have a wrong understanding about who Jesus Christ is. And certainly that was the case for this shopkeeper. It's critical to believe in the right Jesus and the right God. Jesus said on one occasion that you cannot be saved. You cannot go to heaven apart from me. That he is the way to heaven. And certainly by believing in his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection, we understand that he is the only one ever in human history to accomplish those things and ultimately to provide the way of salvation. He also said that just believing in him is not all that's expected. He says one that believes in him must also follow him. He says this in verse 23. Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" What does it mean to deny ourselves and take up our cross? Well, to simplify it, to make it in the simplest of terms, to deny ourselves really means to put Jesus first in our lives. Certainly, as we do that, we are denying that we are in control of our own lives, and we are denying that we are the way to salvation. But rather, we are saying that Jesus is that way of salvation. To take up our cross is to realize that sacrifices have to be made in the Christian life. Sometimes those sacrifices involve denying ourselves some physical pleasure. Sometimes those sacrifices mean not giving in to our sinful nature as we want to lie, steal, cheat, mistreat others, or to do whatever. Sometimes it means taking up our cross means to put others first in our lives. Ultimately, taking up our cross means what it meant to Jesus. And to Jesus, taking up his cross meant doing his Father's will. And so as we seek to do the Father's will, we are really taking up our cross and following Jesus. Jesus concludes the gospel passage by encouraging us to follow him. We follow Jesus by being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's direction in our minds and in our hearts. We follow Jesus by paying attention to his word, the Bible. We follow Jesus by maintaining a relationship with him through prayer and by seeking him throughout the day. And we follow Jesus by seeking to live in obedience to his commands. In the Answers magazine, Dr. John MacArthur quotes a person from an article in Christianity Today on the emerging church. And this person said this: "A young lady said that she wants to be religious, but isn't prepared to let religion alter her lifestyle. I'm a Jesus girl," she said, "but I also like to go out and do tequila shots with my friends." MacArthur says, she does not understand what it means to follow Jesus. Until you get sick and tired of your old life of sin, you won't give it up to follow Jesus. And that's what he requires. End quote. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? Are you willing to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him? If you do that, it's going to be painful. If you do that, it's not easy. But it's always worthwhile. It's always worthwhile. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have made it possible for us to have a way to heaven, have a way to have our sins forgiven, have a way for us to have a relationship with the Father. We thank you that you've made that possible through your death on the cross and through your resurrection. Lord, help us to fully embrace the salvation that you provide for us. Lord, for anyone here that might not have yet asked you to be the Lord and the Savior of their life, would you give them the grace to do that? Lord, for those of us who have made that decision, would you help us to follow you each day? Would you help us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow you daily? Lord, we can only do that by the help and the power of your Holy Spirit. So would you fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we might have the ability to truly follow you each day of our lives? We ask this in your name.
Amen. Amen.